Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Morning Yankee Show. It is Thursday, July 30th, 2026. Yankees will wrap up the four-game set against the White Sox this afternoon, looking to take a series victory, which they already should have done last night, but they do lose in extra innings. 6-5 is your final in 12. One of the more frustrating losses of the season last night, no doubt. I do see some people saying worst loss of the season. I certainly don't think it's that, but I understand the sentiment because the way it happened was certainly up there. And, yeah, it was a rare bad night for the bullpen. That'll happen. They're not at fault for last night, though, and I think anybody who watched that game is in agreement there. We'll break all that down and more. We're going to go through some more trade deadline updates. The Yankees have checked in on Adley Rutschman per John Heyman. We'll also touch on the latest with the Tarik Skubal saga. Sounds like he's 100% going to get traded at this point, and it's just a matter of where will he go. It sounds like, per Jeff Passan, the heavy favorites, the Los Angeles Dodgers, which would be far from ideal. But nonetheless, we'll get into all that. I do want to start off with tonight's game. So without further ado, let's get, let's get right into that. Click like and stream if you do not mind. That's up at a great deal. We're live every single day, Monday through Friday with the Morning Yankee Show. And we're available on podcasts and all of that. So good to see you guys back here. Hope you all have had a good morning so far. And let's make it a good Thursday, yo, because Wednesday night was not great. Yeah, 6-5 White Sox lose. No, they won. 6-5 White Sox win in 12. And yeah, listen, Paul Blackburn had a bad night. The bullpen in general had a bad night, but that'll happen. Is it a matter of them overperforming? Maybe. And, you know, reverting back to the means, I won't go that far. But we always kind of talked about it with this pen. As you see the back-to-back homers given up by Blackburn, they had a 4-1 lead. Quickly blown, and you know, that was the big story in that regard. We'll get to the rest, but is it a matter of overperforming and this is them reverting back to the means? Maybe, if you want to say that, sure, but even if you're not of that belief, if you believe this is the best bullpen of all time, well, they're going to blow games. That'll happen. And we saw it with Bednar on Tuesday night where he still got the save, but he allowed a 2-run shot. And it was like, all right, that was bound to happen. These guys aren't going to be perfect every single night, even if they truly are as great as they've pitched. They've had the best bullpen ERA in baseball for a while now. That doesn't mean anything. Whether you believe in this bullpen or not, they're going to blow games. That's what happened last night. So I'm not going to get on Blackburn. He's still great as far as I'm concerned. He's still been a great story. Same with everybody else. But in regards to that, yeah, they blew a lead. That they did. What's actually frustrating about last night's loss, there's two areas I want to discuss here, and they're both quite obvious. But we'll start off with the Ally Sanchez throw, which, this was a bad throw decision, in my opinion. The Yankees disagree. We'll get to that in a moment. But the actual throw itself was putrid. And while he's not in my long-term plans or nothing, I have been quite pleased for the most part with what I've seen from Ally Sanchez. Maybe it's because the bar has been set so low with this Yankee team and their catchers. But, you know, I thought his at-bats have looked good. He's been good with ABS challenging. And he didn't seem to be somebody that would make stupid mistakes like this. And first things first, if you want to argue that the throw was justified, which I don't think it was at all. Obviously, he knows, McMahon knows, they all know you can't spike that ball in the dirt and it goes into left field. That's how, obviously, the White Sox tied the game. I disagree with the throw decision entirely. Here is Aaron Boone and Ally Sanchez after last night on that very throw decision.
Would you have liked to have seen Sanchez hold the ball there instead of trying to throw the runner out?
Just got to have a good throw. He's playing catch, so we're big leaguers and we're not going to not do things. So, you know, obviously an option's hold it. But, you know, it comes down to, you know, just playing. We got to play catch better there.
Me and McMahon felt that he was getting a little slow back to the base and just make a back throw.
Obviously, it didn't work out the way you wanted to, but to do all over again with two outs, would you consider just holding the ball there or would you try to make that play again?
Yes. And just got to make a better throw.
Now, one thing about this is true, that if you are going to make that throw decision to do that, you got to make a better throw. That part is certainly correct, obviously. And the way Boone phrases it, it's got to be able to play catch. I understand that. I do think this was a foolish decision to throw down a third base. I mean, you have two outs. At this point, Camilo Duvall, while I'm certainly not going to take a couple outings in a row and be like, all of a sudden, he's somebody you can trust out of the bullpen, he has looked a little better as of late. And he did get those two outs. He induced two ground balls prior to that. Now, the Yankee defense before that play was actually playing pretty well. Phenomenal scoop by Paul Goldschmidt at first base when Camilo Duvall fielded a little dinky ground ball, whips it over to first base like like a maniac. Paul Goldschmidt makes an incredible pick. One out. Runner goes to third. McMahon makes a really smooth sliding play. Throws over to first. Runner sees to third. Two outs. The defense was doing its job at that point. And Duvall, inducing ground balls, was doing his job at that point. The one thing I will, to a degree, forgive the idea of then throwing down to third base there is, one, in general, it's Camilo Duvall. But two, it is Camilo Duvall against a lefty, which those two ground balls that he induced were both against right-handed hitters. Duvall's been quite good against righties. Against lefties, though, they have destroyed him. So maybe Alex Sanchez is looking to bail him out in that case because they think he's not going to get the job done. He might not have gotten the job done. We don't know that. And then probably a world where he doesn't. Let's be honest. Not that I would have slept that much better last night, but at least that's, all right, Camilo Duvall is bad. We know that. And he just didn't get the job done. In this case, that was a mental mistake as far as I'm concerned, and nobody would dispute this. The Yankees won't either, obviously. That was just a flat-out bad throw. The post-game interviews, a lot of people were getting on Boone. Whatever, yo. Same old story. We know he's not going to call out his players to the media. Doesn't mean he won't behind closed doors. Everything that we hear is that he does do that. But what we know is obvious. That was a bad throw, and in my opinion, and I think many others as well, throw just should not have been made. That's one aspect of why last night was so frustrating. It goes so beyond just the bullpen blowing a game. Even more so, maybe, than the Ali Sanchez play is the lack of capitalizing offensively. One more thing, actually, I do want to mention about Camilo Duvall, who we know has been bad. He's been very bad. We know that. Nobody's trying to skirt around the truth there. But you do have to acknowledge how bad the Yankee defense has been behind him. And there's actually a stat to back it up. Per Katie Sharp, entering last night, so entering Wednesday night, entering that game, Yankee fielders had a minus six fielding run value when Camilo Duvall was on the mound this season. That is the worst on the Yankees. So if any Yankee pitcher, Camilo Duvall has had the worst defense behind him. And only five pitchers in baseball had a worse fielding run value behind them when pitching. So not giving Duvall an out here, he has been abysmal. And part of the issues with Duvall can be body language. It can also be when the slightest thing goes wrong, he seemingly just implodes afterwards. Actually, did not happen last night, but just to acknowledge that, let's just be completely fair here. The truth is that Camilo Duvall has been terrible this season. The truth is also that the Yankee defense behind Camilo Duvall this season has been terrible as well. Anyways, the offense. This is more so frustrating. So you have the Spencer Jones three-run shot, and that was awesome. Perfect timing, too. Maybe we'll touch on him a little bit more later. And by perfect timing, I mean, we'll see if he's still on the team come Monday's August 3rd trade deadline. But you have the Spencer Jones three-run shot, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, here we go. Yet again, we're hitting Davis Martin well. Of course, back at the stadium in mid-May, or June, whatever that was, we teed off on him. We crushed him. And then last night, you get out to the 4-0 lead, Paul Goldschmidt RBI single, then the Jones homer. It's like, all right, cool, here we go. Second time this season, Jones takes Martin deep. The issue, though, is that that was all they scored, in regulation at least, in regulation. And what's frustrating is they had multiple opportunities to increase that lead. You look at the sixth inning. You had a runner on third base with just one out. And that was via Spencer Jones' single. He ends up getting to third. Jazz strikes out, though. And then McMahon grounds out. But with a runner on third, one out, Jazz doesn't get the run in. And he gets out, which, hey, he could have gotten out via fly ball and given us a 5-0 lead at the time. And I'm not going to pick on Jazz here on his own, just him, because there's many guys at fault for last night's loss. But this is where it can get kind of frustrating with Jazz. It's what we always say. I know it's repetitive, but the highs are very high. The lows are very low. Runner on third, less than two outs. I can forgive one time or a couple times. You know, it's baseball. Just like a bad night from the bullpen. You know, shit happens. Excuse my language. Jazz constantly is not coming through with runners in scoring position. He has been bad this year with runners in scoring position. He was bad last year with runners in scoring position. It's a common theme. It seems like every single night with him. But, you know, when he hits a big home run, which I appreciate, and he has hit those big home runs, it's supposed to be like, oh, don't switch up now. Like, no, it's not switching up. What I will say all the time is Jazz has had a bad season. Jazz frustrates me. And no word, he just gave us a lead with a solo home run late. Huge. Thank you, Jazz. I appreciate that. You helped us win in this case. But there's so many other instances where he can help us win that are much easier than the grand things that he does, like the go-ahead homers or the sparkling diving plays, which sometimes he'll make. A lot of times he'll make. He's a good defender at second base. But then it's like you'll have a routine slip up on a play at second base, which has not been happening as much lately. But just things like that, runner on third, one out, doesn't get the job done. That has happened way too many times with Jazz, and that's why you have people going after him. It's not a thing where I'm rooting against Jazz. I've been one of Jazz's biggest supporters for a long time. But last night was another instance where it's, all right, I get the big home runs, and there's times where it's, he looks like he could be the best second baseman in baseball, but you watch him every single day, things like that, by default are frustrating, but also the quality of that bat is just not, it doesn't look like an at-bat that someone should be taking when you're just trying to get a run in. More often than not. So that's frustrating with Jazz, but this goes way beyond him. So you also have, in the seventh inning, Jose Caballero, leadoff double, very nice. Austin Wells, he flies out, but that was actually a pretty good at-bat, and got Caballero over to third. Yet again, third base, run on third, just one out. Trent Grisham, who's really scuffling lately. You guys know I'm a Trent Grisham supporter, but to be completely fair here, he has been bad lately. Actually, he's 6 for his last 53 with a 113. That's a 113 batting average in that span. Did have some nice long at-bats last night, but in the end, runner on third base, one out. He does not get the run in. He strikes out. Rice strikes out. Rice had a rough game. That one ball I thought was, honestly, I really thought the ball was getting out of here. It ends up flying out the warning track. And then had a rough at-bat late in extra innings. To be honest, once you get to extra innings, that's one thing, because we know the Yankees are terrible on the road in extra innings. We'll get to that in just a moment. But the two main frustrating things from last night, besides just the bullpen blowing the game, but again, that's just like, yeah, that's frustrating. That's baseball. You're like, okay, Paul Blackburn didn't have it last night, and he bared down afterwards. Like, that'll happen. Like, you get over that. You get over that. You really do. The Ally Sanchez throw, bad decision, bad throw. And then not adding on to that 4-0 lead when they had multiple opportunities to do so. That game should not have been 4-1 when Blackburn came in. That game should have been, at the very least, 5-1 or 5-0. Fallacy to predetermine outcome. We don't know what would happen, but as the street cleaners go by, apologies for that. He'll be skirting by in just a moment. Bear with me there. But, yeah, like, that's what's frustrating about last night. The couple of times where they could have added on to that lead, and they did not do so. And we were talking about it on the watch party, and everybody who's, I'm sure, watching their own was saying, hopefully that doesn't come back to bite them, not getting those runs in. And sure enough, it did. So bullpen blows it, 4-4 game entering extra innings. And again, like we talked about the Ally Sanchez thing, Rice didn't capitalize with the runner on third. He struck out against Jordan Hicks late. Yankees do eventually take the lead, then the Sanchez throw, and they end up losing. Extra innings on the road, we know they're bad. But I also throw it to the side a little bit too, because it's like, by the way, Yankees are now 1-7 in extra innings this year, which is the worst in baseball. The Manfred runner, I think, is a terrible rule. I think it's one of the worst things Manfred has done. And he's really turned, like, his reputation, I think, around as of late. Like, the floor of Manfred's tenure was the tin of metal comment he made after the Astros thing, and he handled that whole thing terribly. I don't actually love the pitch clock personally, because I miss when games were longer, but indisputably, like, that's a W for baseball. Like, a lot of things that he's done over the last few years have been good for baseball. The extra inning runner on second base, I cannot stand. Players like it, though, because, you know, shortens the games. Long season. I get it. Reason I mention this, though, is most of the way I watch games is always, like, looking at the true talent team come October. And obviously, you got to get there first. Last night's loss does have ramifications. The Rays won, so we're 2.5 back. So that is important. But also, just thinking about the long-term team, like, they're playing extra innings specifically. The Manfred runner isn't a thing in the postseason, so I don't look at it as a thing to, like, be worried about long-term. It's frustrating. It happens every single year, particularly on the road, really only on the road. We're the second best team in baseball at home in extra innings since the Manfred runner. We're the second worst team in baseball on the road in extra innings with the Manfred runner. So it's annoying. That is not going to be an issue come the playoffs. And that kind of speaks for the rule itself. The fact of when the games are important, you don't have that rule in place kind of speaks to its own point there. But once you get to extra innings, it's kind of like, not that you know they're going to lose. I never operate that way. You guys know I'm a very optimistic fan. But you kind of do feel that way. And it's extra frustrating because they actually had a chance to win in extras. They didn't, for many reasons. And it's not the bullpen's fault. It is the bullpen's fault, but you know what I'm saying. It goes beyond that. So that was a frustrating loss last night. Really frustrating. Cam pitched great. Another good start by Cam. And there was a minute where he had his ERA back down below 2. Now it's back above 2 because he did have the one earned run. But 6 1/3, 2 hits, 1 earned run, 1 walk, 8 strikeouts. He obviously gets the no decision. And, dude, he should be way above a 10-6 record. Way above a 10-6 record. I mean, there's been a few games now where the bullpen has blown. But between that, lack of run support, whatever it may be. This dude has been far and away the best pitcher in baseball this season. We know that. His record does not suggest that, though, which I know nobody really cares, and that's why you don't look at win-loss record. But it is still something nice, especially when talking about a potential Cy Young, which he absolutely should win, and last night only aided in that because he had a great game. But not that it even plays a role in the Cy Young voting anymore, but maybe it does. It could be a tiebreaker. It could be, you know, there's still some old-fashioned voters out there. And even just looking at a guy's season, I don't use it to determine how good or bad a pitcher is, not at all. But there is something a little extra nice about, you know, Cam has the 2 dot ERA. Was it 203 now, I think? Which is awesome. You have a record to go with that of 15-4 or 13-5 instead of 10-6. It just makes it look a little extra pretty. And it's annoying because, like, he probably cares about that a little bit too. This all doesn't actually matter. But just pointing out here the obvious in that Cam's record should be way better than 10-6. The main story, though, is Yanks lose a game last night that they should not have lost. And it was very frustrating. And with that, they're now 2.5 back in the AL East instead of 1.5 back. Because, again, the Rays did win last night. I still believe this team is going to win the AL East come season's end. A lot of people keep mentioning the tiebreaker, and rightfully so, because right now we're behind the Rays. But I do believe, maybe barring how this next few days go until the trade deadline, that we will be winning the American League East. And we better hope that we do. Because while some may talk about the idea of a bye being a disadvantage, and I can actually hear you out on that, I think for this team, and in general, after a long season, for everybody, having those days off is important. When it comes to an actual wild card series, if worst case scenario, that's where we end up, Cole, Freed, Cam, as your 3 wild card starters, that's pretty damn good, and you should be able to get out of that round. Ideally, we can avoid that. You want to win the division. I still believe that the Yankees will. But a loss like last night, if they end up not winning the division, you'll look back at a game like that. Especially if they only, you know, lose by a game. Or like it's last year where we're tied with the Rays come season's end. And then the tiebreaker is the reason that we don't win the AL East. So bottom line is that was a frustrating loss last night. A loss that should not have happened. It's not the end of the world. It doesn't mean this team sucks. No, not at all. It doesn't mean that at all. I mean, listen, Aly Sanchez, that was a bad throw by him last night. He's not going to be in the playoff roster. The runner on second base in extra innings, that's not a factor in the postseason. What is a factor, though, in the postseason is the possibility of runner on third base, less than 2 outs in regulation, Jazz Chisholm Jr. coming up and not getting the job done. That can cost us in the playoffs. Trent Grisham, runner on third base, 1 out, not getting the job done. That can cost us in the playoffs. So it's not just a thing where Yanks lose a bad game. Oh, they suck. Season's over. No. Got to analyze it all with nuance and understand that that was a bad loss. It's not the end of the world, but there are things that remain a concern with this team, and some of them might be new concerns or old concerns reawakened. Just like I celebrate Trent Grisham when he's doing well, and I bring up the idea of, well, where would we be without him? A lot of people didn't want to re-sign him, and I think it looked like it was the right decision for the Yankees to do that. Well, the same way I do that when things are going well, you're well within your rights to bring it up now and be like, yo, Dan, Trent Grisham ain't playing well. Well, it's good. Fair enough. He's not playing well right now. He's got to pick it up. The runner on third base less than 2 outs is what will drive us all crazy, though. Like, that is something that cannot happen. Every now and then, one of those 2 times yesterday, either in the 6th or the 7th, get that run in. But both, neither times they did. Neither times. And if they did, we could have won that game. But we didn't, so we must now move on. So now, here's how it works in my brain once I discuss it on the morning show. Last night is officially behind us. We move forward to today. We've got a bunch of trade rumors to discuss. We're going to get to the Adley Rutschman thing. We're going to get to some Tarek Skubal talk. Bunch more to come up on here, the Morning Yankee Show. We're live Monday through Friday, available on podcast. Click like on the stream if you haven't that already. We'll be right back after this break. Want to give a huge shout out to our presenting sponsor, GameStop, and then we'll get into all the latest trade deadline news. Want to give a huge shout out to GameStop, where fantasy football meets the stock market. It's incredibly simple. You pick 2 to 4 stocks, compete on a live leaderboard, and top players win real cash from the prize pool. We have a brand new Yankees Avenue tournament coming next week. We'll have an access code to get you in, but for now, download GameStop, use code JohnBoy for $20 in bonus credits. It's incredibly simple to sign up. It takes just 20 seconds. It's completely free to sign up. Download GameStop, use code JohnBoy, link in description. Alrighty, huge shout out to GameStop. Now let's get into the latest of the MLB trade deadline. So obviously August 3rd is your deadline, 6 p.m. We're now if you include today, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and then Monday, I don't know why I counted like that. 5 days left. 5 days left. We're in the process of 5 days left. And we did get an update yesterday on the catching market. Now, before we get into this, I got to say, yo, I am in a concerning spot with the possibility of maybe not getting a catcher that we love all that much. And that's because the Twins are apparently buying. And that could be a thing where they buy and they still sell off Ryan Jeffers. But I am very concerned at this very moment that Jeffers will not be dealt. And then if not, what are the alternatives? With that said, there are alternatives. And one of them might be Adley Rutschman. At least the Yankees are, per John Heyman, have checked in on the possibility of acquiring Adley. Now, first things first, would the Orioles trade Adley to us? I think so, they would. For the right package, yes. Would it maybe include a Yankee tax where you have to, you know, give a little bit extra if you really want to get him for them to send him to us? Maybe. But we always got to keep in mind, you know, this team traded Zach Britton to us in 2018. It's not off the table that if they're willing to sell and Adley's on the market, that if the Yankees are the team that gives the best offer, they could acquire Adley Rutschman. So I do think if this is something the Yankees are serious about and the Orioles are serious about, it could happen. So just laying that out there now. Also, in the article it says this, but you kind of assume so anyways, Adley is not an Oriole long-term because they just signed Samuel Basalo to that 8-year deal. He's their catcher of the future. Adley's under control through next year, through 2027. He is currently on the IL with wrist inflammation. But he's having a good year. He is having a good year. 115 WRC plus, 8 homers, 764 OPS, 2.3 WAR in 67 games this season, which is fifth among all catchers. Adley's had a nice year. Switch hitter. And listen, I would love Adley Rutschman. I would love him. And all the report says for right now is simply that the Yankees have checked in. And I was not going back and forth. I responded once. But somebody was saying, and they're right, like, this is just the Yankees doing their due diligence and checking in. You're 100% correct. The Yankees are simply probably covering all their bases here. If there's a catcher that exists and they like him to a degree, they'll call him up and, you know, see if he's available. If Adley is, we've already laid out that I do believe right deal, right package. If Adley's available, I think the Orioles would trade him to us. What would that cost, though? That's a very interesting question. Year and a half of control, which gets very interesting because the idea of no baseball next year heavily plays a role in factoring that in. Because is it really a year and a half that you're acquiring him, or is it essentially just going to be half a year if there's no baseball next year? Well, what that doesn't really change is the value that you would have to give up to get him. You would be trading, baseball or not, next year. If you're trading for Adley the deadline this year, you are trading for what is technically a year and a half's worth of control. So whatever it might cost to get him, the Yankees may be in on Adley, but also don't want to give up a year and a half's worth of value for whatever that might lead to the Orioles asking. And that could cause a slight issue here. Now, just going off of that, let's just assume for a second baseball is going to happen next year. Look at this straightforward, like normal, year and a half worth of control of Adley Rutschman. What would that cost? I'd be lying if I said I was fully aware of what the Orioles, you know, situation is with, like, what kind of players they need long term. But understand this about the Yankees and their trade deadline situation. Even with not factoring Lombard in at all, generally speaking, he would never be in an Adley Rutschman deal to begin with. But Lombard, we know, is kind of to the side here. He's not getting dealt. But everything else being equal, everybody else on the table, the Yankees have what it takes to get any deal done. If they want to do it, they can get Scooble. If they want to do it, they likely can get Mason Miller. Now, that might include Lombard. Those two are different kind of situations. But anything else, the Yankees have the prospect capital. They have the arms. They have pretty much whatever a team could want for the most part in terms of creating a package to acquire anybody. So whatever the deal return would possibly have to be for Adley, which shouldn't be all that crazy. And by all that crazy, I mean, like, they're not going to ask for Lombard. Like, that would be absurd. And the Yankees would never trade Lombard to him. I don't think a year and a half of Adley would take Dax Kilby. Would it maybe take Carlos Agrande, like, in that tier? I don't think so. And I don't think the Yankees would do that deal. But, like, I think you're definitely in, like, the Elmer Rodriguez conversation, or maybe Elmer and then as well as a starting pitcher. Like, maybe that's where, what we talked about yesterday, teams are showing interest in Clark Schmidt. Like, would Elmer and Clark Schmidt possibly headline a deal for Adley Rutschman. Like, I could see something along those lines. But whatever it may be, if the Yankees want to get this deal done, which all we're at right now is that the Yankees have simply checked in. So that's why we're talking about it. We're going to talk about every single rumor on here. They have what it takes to get the deal done, if that's what they want to do. So just keeping this in mind, I would like Adley. Obviously, switch hitter. He's having a nice year. And I think they like his defense behind the plate as well. Let me do a double check really quick exactly where he ranks. I should have done this earlier. I apologize. But I believe he has a good arm, no? Okay, so caught ceiling above average. Yeah, he has a really good arm. 100th percentile in caught ceiling above average. He's a great framer. He's a really good defender, as I suspected, but I wanted to double check. 76th percentile in blocks, 100th percentile in caught stealing, 93rd percentile in framing. So defensively, Adley's really good. And offensively, he's having a nice year. 115 WRC plus, 764 OPS. I want Adley. Do I think this happens? I would put it at a 10 to 15% chance. But that might increase as the catching market continues to like dwindle a little bit with, obviously, Shea Langeliers, who you guys know I wanted bad. He's done for the year. He's not an option. Still remains unclear if the Rockies will trade Hunter Goodman and how much the Yankees would be involved in the possibility of that. We know they've made the phone call, but again, they're going to make phone calls. They're going to check in on, they're going to do their due diligence, and that's what we're doing here with Adley. The Ryan Jeffers thing is really interesting because, again, the Twins might be buying, and does that mean buying while still selling Jeffers? Hopefully. And we were joking last night in the watch party, like, if I could have contact with the Twins, I might tell Plouffe this, but, like, if I could have contact with the Twins, I'd say, like, yo, we can either beat you in October with Jeffers or without Jeffers. Would you like some prospects in the meantime? Like, that's kind of how I see it. But that remains to be seen over the next couple days. Tyler Stevenson is also a name that has been checked in on, apparently, with the Yankees. I'll tell you, here's where I would get concerned with this deadline. Now, if we get Mason Miller and, like, Otto Lopez, and then we also get Tyler Stevenson on top of that, like, all right, word, like, I can deal with that. But just talking about this conversation isolated on its own, the idea of getting a catcher, Stevenson does not do much for me at all. And I don't really see how the Yankees would be that interested in him besides the fact that, like, he's alive and plays a position of catcher. He's a bad defender, like, pretty damn bad defender. He's good at blocking, but that's it. He literally ranks as in the first percentile, which is bad, of pitch framers in the league. He's not good at throwing out base runners. He's had successful years offensively in the past. And, you know, he would be an upgrade technically offensively over Wells. He has a 720 OPS, and he's a right-handed bat. So, like, in theory, it sounds like a good idea. There's one little issue, though, with Tyler Stevenson, besides the fact of he's not a great defender, which is a massive issue. Like, really bad. Really bad. He's a right-handed bat, but he's hitting 189 against left-handed pitching this year. So how does that work? You're going to platoon him with Wells. And what, that would mean play Wells against righties, play Stevenson against lefties? Well, Stevenson can't hit lefties, so, like, what's the plan there? Or are you going to play Stevenson against righties and then play Wells against lefties or start Stevenson entirely? Well, his defense isn't good, so I don't see the Yankees wanting to do that. I don't see how this is a fit. Tyler Stevenson, not Adley Rutschman. I don't see how Tyler Stevenson would be a fit, really, at all. But that is someone that the Yankees have apparently, or at least could consider. There's no exact reports on that just yet. The reports right now, as we know, their first plan here, catching-wise, is they want to get Ryan Jeffers. We've known that for a while. That's like the longest and oldest trade rumor of this season so far for the Yankees, and probably just in general for our baseball, the Yankees want to get Ryan Jeffers. Well, he might not get traded. What are the other options? If it's Adley, hey, word up. But if it's Tyler Stevenson, I just don't see how that would fit. Now, again, if you were to say the deadline is you're getting Mason Miller, you're getting Otto Lopez, and then you also get Tyler Stevenson as well, it's like, all right, word. Like, you can still create a successful deadline while getting somebody that I don't love. Depends what the rest of the deadline looks like. But just, again, isolated on its own conversation, I'm kind of good off. I'm very much good off Tyler Stevenson. Ideally, though, just to wrap this conversation up, ideally the Twins will just trade Ryan Jeffers, and then we get him. I've been set on Jeffers for so long. And the Twins, I think, bias aside, the Twins would be foolish not to trade him. But again, as for Adley, Yankees have checked in on him. I will put that at a 10 to 15% chance he gets dealt. And if he is actually available, which apparently he is, a lot of teams are going to be in the market for his services, just like every other catcher that's available. Same with Ryan Jeffers. You know, like, ideally, he's available, but there's also going to be a lot of competition. Hopefully, the Yankees are willing to pony up what it might cost now to get him, which the cost has only gone up for everybody in the catcher market. And probably just in the deadline period. It's going to be a very, one would say fascinating, one might say frustrating, at the very least an interesting trade deadline over the next few days with what the returns are going to be. Speaking of interesting, it sounds like Tarek Skubal is certainly getting traded. And the way he handled last night's start and just the way it was being talked about, it seemed like that was absolutely his final start as a Detroit Tiger. And pretty much everybody is saying it's like almost 100% chance he's going. Like Bob Nightingale entering yesterday had an 80% chance that he gets dealt. He then quote tweeted his initial tweet saying after last night's game that the Tigers blew, it's 100% chance. And Bob Nightingale is one thing. Jeff Passan is another. Here's Jeff Passan on ESPN yesterday. The main thing we're going to talk about, though, is who he says is the favorite, which, as you see on the screen here, is apparently very much the Dodgers.
Yeah, Tarek Skubal is going to be traded. The Tigers haven't gone to teams that are interested in him and said as much at this point, but the expectation is that's going to happen within the next day or two. And I understand that they have a lot of engaged teams right now. Teams that in particular are being cited by others as being the biggest threats, though, the Milwaukee Brewers, who have a tremendous farm system, and of course, Phil, the Los Angeles Dodgers, who are the favorites at this point, and frankly have been since the possibility of Tarek Skubal getting traded first surfaced a couple of months ago.
This is like the biggest fear of the entire time, was that the Dodgers would get Skubal. Now, I do have to get out of here in a little bit because I'm running late, but would this be game over? No, it's baseball. And can the Yankees do anything about this? Well, they could try to get Skubal themselves. They weren't even mentioned there by Passan. It was the Brewers and the Dodgers. It does feel inevitable that's going to happen. It's kind of always felt inevitable. The Yankees have beaten Skubal this season. Could they beat him in a playoff game in the World Series? Yeah, they could. And the Yankees starting rotation is really good. They're 1-4 of Cole, Fried, Cam, Rodon. That is one of the best in baseball. It'd be second best next to the Dodgers, though, if they acquire Skubal. We're probably already headed for this. Not a guarantee, but if they were to get Skubal, barring the Yankees countering that by getting Mason Miller and Otto Lopez, whatever it may be, like, we'll go into this World Series. Got to get there first, I understand. But, you know, people always talk about how bad the AL is. It's like, the Yankees should get to the World Series. Well, if you don't win the World Series, nobody gives a damn. Let's just say they get there. Like, they will be going in as, like, obviously underdogs against the Dodgers, probably in general. But if they get Tarek Skubal, it'll be almost a feeling of, to some, defeat before it starts, at least at the very minute the trade is made. It'll feel inevitable that the Dodgers will win it all. And it would feel very crushing if that's what ends up happening here. It's not to end the show on a sour note, but that would be far from ideal if that's what happens. Would it be game over? No, it's baseball. And Nicky should feel a pretty damn good team come October. At the very least, even with school, if the Dodgers acquire him, if the Yankees have a competent trade deadline, the gap between the Dodgers and the Yankees much closer than it was in 2024. And that's heavily built because of the starting rotation that we will have. But I really hope the Yankees are still looking into this and seeing if they can make something happen here. I'm so curious what the return could possibly be. But the Dodgers, let's be honest, like if I had to guess right now, the Dodgers are going to get him. And that's what it seems like is going to happen. At the very least, what almost feels known at this rate is that Tarek Skubal is being traded somewhere. So buckle up, yo. A few interesting days ahead of us. August 3rd, 6 p.m. is the MLB trade deadline. We're going to have a bunch of coverage throughout the weekend. Monday will be live like all day long. I'm thinking Saturday I might do like a traditional radio show and just go live for like 6 hours. Maybe get the call-ins going. But yeah, we'll be live obviously again tomorrow morning with the Morning Yankee Show. We're live Monday through Friday. Podcast, all that. Click like on the stream, by the way, if you don't mind. It does help out a great deal. Use code YANKSAT15, 15% off your Yankees merch. Link in chat, link in description. But yeah, I'll be seeing you guys a bunch over the next few days. Should be an interesting few days and a fun few days, ideally. Yanks are looking for a catcher. They are looking for a reliever and looking for another bat on top of that. So moves should be made. I believe moves will be made. It's a matter of are those moves that we're satisfied with come the end of this deadline. And that, of course, remains to be seen. But we're there. It's July 30th. So yeah, 5 more days. We're in the process of 5 days left until the deadline. Until then, though, or not until then, but until the next time I see you guys, which will be tomorrow morning. Have a great rest of your day. Yankees are at 2 o'clock today. Ryan Weathers versus the right-hander Sean Burke. Series finale, splitting the series would really suck. So ideally that does not happen. But yeah, I'll see you guys again tomorrow morning for the Morning Yankee Show. I think that's all we got. Have a great rest of your day. Go Yanks, and I'll see you guys next time. Let's go Yanks.